see. They never wanted me. The curse is laid upon my race. Useless serpents, they bring disgrace. A man without a face. Time they pass again. It's so hard to tell where and when. Yeah, just do the best you can. The flames will burn away the waste. All the lies that they told erased. A man without face. A man without a 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 face.
Welcome, dear ladies and gentlemen, to the Rabbit Hole Radio Show with your host, David James. Hello, hello, hello. Well, here we are again with another show. And I wanted to mention something to you in the beginning of the show. Do you remember the corny show called Starsky and Hutch? Yeah. Well, you knew that Starsky was a Jew, right? Paul Michael Glazier. And, you know, so they have David Soul, who appears, I know that's not his real blonde hair, of course. He appears to be a white man. But, you know, they had to do this series. You see, it was such a corny series that they had to make up for the weakness of the Jew who doesn't have any authority. You can tell Jews just don't have authority. When they do try to exercise it, it's through fear. But this Jew doesn't have any authority. And so to make up for his weak Jewness, they had to have David's soul and they had to have a car. I think it was a Galaxy 500 or something. To make up for the inadequacies of the Jew, you see, so that they could try to pull this series off. Now, literally, it's a multi-culti experience, and they have a fellow on there named Huggy Bear. You see, they love to give these Negroes names that you would love these Negroes. See, Huggy Bear, how could you not love a Negro named Huggy Bear? Or how about a Negress named Whoopi Goldberg? I mean, there's a Jew name, and what does Whoopi mean? You make Whoopi. But if you look at Whoopi Goldberg, the last thing you'd think about is making Whoopi. I guarantee it. You'd be more likely when seeing this creature, you'd be more likely to vomit on the floor than to think about making Whoopi. Yeah, I know you're laughing. It's funny. It is. But, you know, this Huggy Bear nonsense. And then, of course, they had to have a Negro captain. You know, because, I mean, we all know how great leaders these Negroes are, you know what I mean, and how just they are and how good they are. And so, you know, this is the whole thing. You got the Negro captain, you've got the Jew Starsky, and then you've got a very possibly another Jew but he looks like an Anglo-Saxon man called Hutch. Now, I changed the name of the series. It's now called Juicy and Hubal. Yes, that's a much better, more accurate. See, you like that? It does have a nice ring, right? Juicy and Hubal. I think that works. It's good. Who is Hubal? Well, it's Juski's father. You know, Baal. You know, the god of the Muslims, Hubal. Well, Juicy and Hubal, I find out that David Soul, who plays Hubal, his born name is David Richard Saulberg. Oh, but if you look up in his thing, it says that his dad was an Episcopalian minister. I think it was, a Lutheran minister. But does that mean that his father was not a Jew? And they don't really say too much about his mother either. They like to hide these things. But even if his dad, whose name is Saulberg, S-O-L-B-E-R-G, oh, that could be a German name, Dave. Well, yeah, it could be. But the thing is you got to remember that Rabbi Moses there, who told the people to become ministers and become, you know, all that. You know what I'm talking about. Well, of course, there's many Jews who are ministers, like Billy Graham, like the Poop. You know, all these different ones, they're all Jews. And so, why couldn't it be possible, if this guy's name is Saulberg, why couldn't it be possible that he is actually a Jew, being a Lutheran minister? One can only wonder. However, I do know one thing for sure. That no matter who is in any position of stardom whatsoever, whether it's an actor, a musician, anything like that, there are times they use non-Jews, like for in boxing, for instance. But what I mean by this is that they're not going to give money and empower white men to be in competition with them. They're going to only put people in positions of acting positions or whatever it's going to be if they have some kind of a Jewish relative. Now, on Saxon's Creed tomorrow, I will show you that it is said that Elvis's great-great-grandmother was a Jewess. You understand what I'm saying now? In other words, Elvis is either Jew worship or he's race mixed too. I mean, it just doesn't matter. You know what I mean? They're not going to put anybody in position to gain the kind of money and to be able to compete with them. When you look into the people in all these series that you see, you'll, in at least 90-something percent, you'll find out that there's a Jewish connection somewhere in their family or whatever, or them or whatever it is. There was a fellow that put out this thing that, you know, Andy Carrington Hitchcock's theme song for his radio show? Well, one of the fellas is a mestizo that's singing in that song from whatever that Lollapalooza crap, you know. So isn't that interesting? See, there's always these connections to these people, no matter where you look. So anyway, I suppose we'll get to the, you know, crux. We'll get right into the Disney thing, but It's very interesting. When you look at, before I do that, though, let's just quickly look. Now, you've got Huggy Bear here, right? You think he's a Negro, right? Well, his name is Antonio Fargas. Fargus was born in New York City to Mildred Nee Bailey and Manuel Fargus. He was one of 11 children. 11 in New York. His father was a Puerto Rican who worked for the city of New York. His mother was from Trinidad or Tobago, raised in New York's Spanish Harlem. Fargus graduated from Fashion Industries High School in 1965. So he is a race-mixed mongrel. When it comes to Negroes in Hollywood and everything else, they're either going to be race-mixed or they're going to be race-mixed one way or another. It's just that some of them will be race-mixed with Jews. Many of the Negroes that you see in Hollywood and the music industry are race-mixed with Jews. Otherwise, they will be like this, a mongrel. Okay? Why do I tell you these things? Because I want you to see what's going on. See, they don't mind promoting Negroes because they steal the money back from the Negroes. And it's all part of, by promoting these race-mixed creatures, what they're doing is it's all part of the racial program for the 20th century, which is now into the 21st century and still moving ahead. So it's a corny series, and I've renamed it Juicy and Hubal. Now, just for last word on this for the sake of it, the captain, the Negroid captain, that looks like a white man practically with painted on blackface, in a way, not really, but in a way, his name is Bernie Hamilton. Bernard Hamilton, which is a Jewish name. Oh, I'm sure there's a Hamilton out there that might not be Jewish, but you remember the Hamilton of the Founding Fathers? He was half Negro, half Jew. Yes, he was. And he was going against Jefferson, and he was helping the international bankers to get the bank in America. Yes, Hamilton. I think that's why he's on your $10 bill. Yeah, but Jefferson's... All right. Yeah. All right. Well, anyway. Let's move on here. So last week we were talking about the mind control with children and how they wanted to move in with your inner child. They wanted to affect the adult's inner child with these movies and so on and so forth. So we're on page, this is Bloodlines of the Illuminati, and this is in the Disney Bloodline. We're on page 231. So, right, we had talked about Peter Pan, and these are some of the ones. Remember, I'll just repeat this from last week. Some of the next full-length film animated films to come out were The Three Caballeros, The Adventures of Ichabod and Mr. Toad. I had never seen that one. Cinderella, Treasure Island, Alice in Wonderland, The Story of Robin Hood and His Merry Men, and Peter Pan. Now, I remember saying last week that Pan is the devil, just another name of the devil. Peter Pan, PP66. Oh, Dave, don't do that. Please, for God's sake, don't do that. But I also mentioned to you that the story of Robin Hood and his merry men, you must realize that Robin, he's a robber. He's in the hood. Robin Hood and his merry men, they live by the eat, drink, and be merry deal. For we live today, for tomorrow we die, right? So, you know, do whatever you can while you can, because you only live once, fella there. Don't worship the Father in heaven and obey him because you only live once. Eat, drink, and be merry and just do whatever thou wilt. But you see that I say that this story, and since I've been saying this for a while, that The story of Robin Hood and his merry men is communism. It's the idea of stealing from the rich and giving to the poor. Now, believe me, communism doesn't, it says it does this, but it doesn't do it. You see what I mean? It's just an ideology, a falsehood, a fable of the Jews. In actuality, it doesn't do anything. It never steals the money from the... It steals the money from the haves and gives to the have-nots. Guess who the haves are? That's you, dear white man and woman, from the Israelite nations. You're the Israelites. You're the haves. And Jewinghood and his Jewy men come to tax you to death to steal from you to give to the have-nots. Okay, so we move on here. This is new territory, right? 20,000 Leagues Under the Sea, 1954. Sleeping Beauty, 1959. Very soon after the production of all these movies, the Jewilluminati and their intelligence agency used them for Jewilluminati mind control programming. To see their misuse as programming scripts, one has to understand how the fantasy worlds of a program multiple are created and how the movie scripts are adapted to be programming scripts. Now, I remember we read that little part, but it's okay. Volume 2 gave quite a few examples of how Alice in Wonderland and The Wizard of Oz scripts were used for programming scripts. When Disney and his animal nature documentaries in them, when he had them, he edited and used narration to give the animals human-like characteristics, something he'd already been doing with animation. Okay, I think we did read that, didn't we? Yeah, because we talked about Mathers, right? And Julian Huxley and H.G. Wells. Okay. Later, they requested that Walt sign over Disneyland Incorporated to Walt Disney Productions, which Walt did. Walt kept 17.25% of Disneyland Holdings, and Walt Disney Productions got the rest. Walt Disney Productions then shared their portion with others. The man who helped Walt finance Disneyland was the executive vice president of ABC, Kittner. You know that's a Jew, right? Walt Disney got the Jewilluminati Stanford's Research Institute to determine what would be the best site for Disneyland. A retired Navy Admiral, Joe Fowler, was in Fowler. Get it? Fowl. Was in charge of constructing both Disneyland and Walt Disney World. How do admirals fit into the power structure? Admirals are briefed each day and are given information concerning the secret power structure. Most men who are in the military level, who are at the military level, are Jewilluminati, or at least well controlled by the system. Within the last few years, there has been an intense effort to weed out any admirals who are not loyal to the Jewilluminati. We saw that with Obama, haven't we? Now, he's talking about this back in the 90s, right? We see that continuing. We saw that in the Obama administration. Morgan Evans, who lives in Malibu and who may be of the famous Morgan clan, was the one who created the spectacular landscapes for Disneyland, Walt Disney World, and Epcot in Florida. Jurida. According to CIA, number 13, CIA, C9A, informants, opposed to the Jew World Order, CIA contractors were brought in to build the underground tunnels under Disney World in 1977. These contractors were sworn in secretly, but were only informed on a need-to-know basis why the CIA was involved with the amusement park. To work on the secret tunnel project took an above-top secret clearance. A major programming center was constructed under Lake Holden. Many of the lakes in Jurida are named Lake So-and-So rather than So-and-So Lake. Very interesting. The tunnel system was built for programming trauma-based total mind-controlled slaves. It was built of concrete with steel reinforcement. Lake Holden lies just to the northwest side of Orlando International Airport and just about and just south of Interstate 4. It's close to Range 29 East on Quad maps. It is only, as the crow flies, about 12 miles from Disneyland. In spite of draconian measures of secrecy, numerous lawsuits, federal and state, were filed over the years by victims trying to expose the Disney World programming tunnels, so that finally the programming center was dismantled, cleaned up, and a maintenance tunnel level and a casting tunnel level were opened to the public. During its heyday, the programmers, military and intelligence men, had, you know what that means, right? Mercenaries and Jews, had exotic offices underground with unusual programming equipment. You must realize something, that the people in intelligence are also mind control programmed. So if you were somebody that was a traitor to our country, but a good friend to the traitors of known as Jews, you'd be mind controlled programmed so that you nothing could go wrong. You can see that, right? And it said that the programmers, these military and intelligence men, had exotic offices underground with unusual programming equipment. It doesn't take any imagination to realize that if Disney carried mind control programming above and below ground, that they would need tight security forces to protect their secrets. Indeed, such is the case. Disney amusement parks have been granted a draconian powers wherever they have been built. They've been granted draconian powers. Very interesting. Let's look up the word. We've heard it all before. We know what draconian means. But let's just look it up for the sake of looking up the word. Draconian. Oh, of course. Of laws or their application, excessively harsh and severe. The Nazis destroyed the independence of the press by a series of draconian laws. Well, you see how they needed to use the Nazis and get your idea that the Holocaust, again, they want to remind you of the Holocaust in our little dictionaries here. But let's look at it from the other point of view. Who were the press in Germany? Why, they were the same people that are in the press today. Lying, murdering, false flag, Jews and their accomplices. Because the Jew can do nothing without the white man. There's so many traitors in our race that it's a wonder that people would say, well, all Israel will be saved. No, it won't. I explained that in a teaching. That's one of the big things that makes a conflict when there's people that think that all Israel will be saved. So if you're white, it doesn't matter if you're a traitor with a Jew and you've done everything to harm your own race. You're still going to be going to heaven because all Israel will be saved. No. And you don't go to heaven. The kingdom's coming down here. But I explained it as like when you see the 12,000 from each tribe. Yeah, there'll be people, representatives from every tribe of Israel that will be in the kingdom. So therefore, all Israel will be saved, if you know what I mean. If you can read between those lines. Anyway, back to draconian. Harsh, severe, strict, extreme, drastic, stringent, tough, swinging, swingying, that's a different one. Cruel, brutal, oppressive, ruthless, relentless. Sounds like the Jew. When he's on top, that is. When he's on bottom, he's full of tears and, oh, I'm the victim. Even when he's on top, he's the victim. anyway, iron-fisted. You know, putting the boot, stamping the boot on the neck, on the back of the neck, Draconian. You know, and Dracula, you get it? Draconian. Remember I talked about that I coined the term Drac hair, Dracula's hair? Anyway, Disney amusement parks have been granted draconian powers wherever they have been built. The Disney parks also have employed armies of spies dressed like tourists to spy on Disney's employees. If amusement park workers did anything slightly out of place, they were and still are reported by the spies in the camp, and they often have lost their jobs. For instance, one ex-worker who had 10 years with Disney was caught discussing his divorce with another worker. Since divorce doesn't fit the wholesome image of Disney and what it wants, when the spy dressed as a tourist reported his conversation, he lost his job. Many workers have tried to tell their personal horror stories of Disney's draconian rules and their draconian private police force. But most of the time, Disney has the power to suppress and intimidate away any bad publicity. An exception to that is the recent November 4th, 1996, Napa Valley Register article on page 2D entitled, "Critics of Disneyland Say Security Abusive Inside the Magic Kingdom." UCLA law professor David Sklansky, unbelievable, commented about Disney's police. "One of the major problems we have is nobody really knows what they are doing, how often they stop, interrogate, or search people. They are not subject to the same sort of regulatory controls," unquote, quote unquote. "It's almost superfluous to tell readers that Disney's amusement park, with its theme areas such as Fantasyland, Tomorrowland, and Adventureland, were a great success. Everyone worldwide was curious to visit this entertainment mecca." Mecca, get it? "To participate in something that had a clean, wholesome image to it." Kind of like the Pharisees. Disney's like the Pharisees, right? They look whitewashed on the outside, but inside they're full of dead men's bones. See, on the outside they're wearing all these robes and acting like pompous and acting that they're very holy and very that their heart is very near to the Father in heaven. But nay, 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 'tis not true. So, you know what's funny is just like right now what we're discovering, when Yeshua said that outside that they were whitewashed sepulchers, but inside they were full of dead men's bones, the Jews should have known that he had a special intelligence and that it angered them very much. Because how could he know such things? If he's just some man, right? If he was just some man, did he have a spy network to go spy on these rabbis? No, he had the Father in heaven who sees all these things. There's no spy network needed. The angels, if the angels report, you could call that a spy network, perhaps. But the Father finds out about all these things, and I think it's interesting. And, of course, it made them very angry when he called them on it. He knew that it was all a pretense, these Pharisees. He knew that they were full of dead men's bones, which means they were spiritually dead, as I have told you over and over, that they're born spiritually dead from the womb. See, if you're spiritually dead inside, you'd be full of dead men's bones, you see? Okay, so. Okay, it's almost superfluous to tell readers that Disney's amusement park and its theme areas such as Fantasyland, Tomorrowland, and Adventureland were a great success. Everyone worldwide, right, they were this wholesome. It had a clean, wholesome image to it, but it was rotting in the core, right? The entire world system pulled together to ensure that Disneyland got the image and publicity that the top 13 Jewilluminati families were and the various syndicates wanted to have. For 40 years, they've done this. When something that everyone thinks is clean and wholesome is not attacked by the world system, that should raise eyebrows. There's a great point right there. When something that everyone thinks is clean and wholesome is not attacked by the world system, that should raise eyebrows among thinking people. Homeschooling, learning to read phonetically, and other wholesome activities for children have been viciously attacked and ridiculed by the established media. Why has Disney gone untouched? Disney Studios for years strove to have a very clean image. Workers had dress codes, and any activity on the part of employees that wasn't morally conservative was grounds for instant dismissal. Of course, the exceptions were all covered up, such as an employee who used hypnosis to get quite a few of the female employees to undress until nude. John L. Hultang, author of The Messenger's Motives, Inglewood Cliff, New Jersey, Prentice Hall, 1976, page 213, informs us, quote, "As communication researchers have emphasized, the greatest impact the media have on the formation or change of public opinion is in terms of impressions built up over a long period." Boldly added, "The wholesomeness of Disney is an image that has been built over a long period of time. Disney's occult themes of world citizenship, witchcraft, humanism, and idolatry have also been long-running impressions that have been craftively perpetrated upon this nation, so long that they begin prior to this author's and probably the reader's birth." You get that? Are you getting that? Is this not amazing? Really? It's amazing to me. People don't associate movies like Consenting Adults with Disney or The Corpse Had a Familiar Face with Disney. In fact, as previously mentioned, when Disney wanted to put more adult films, quote unquote, they did a sleight of hand and created the label Touchstone Films, so that people, Touchstone, you get it. Remember that when the monkeys and the men touched the monolith in 2001, that they were enlightened, that they received intellect, and man finally killed the first man? Touchstone Films. So that people wouldn't associate movies like Splash, which showed what looked like bare breasts, with Disney's productions. Another label, Hollywood Pictures, was created by Disney to help distribute Touchstone Films. At first, the personnel of these companies was simply Disney's staff, but as time went on, they got their own production personnel. On October 27th, 1954, let me hit you. I'm sorry, but I'm going to have to hit you with this one. 27 is either 999 or it's 11. 2 and 7 is 9. Excuse me. Right? 1954, 1 times 9 is 9, 5 and 4 is 9. Anyway, on October 27, 1954, Walt Disney's Wonderful World of Color debuted on television. Talmud Vision, the glass toilet, the electric toilet, the hypnotism device, the brainwasher, the idiot box. The TV show, I put all those in there. Now, it continues. The TV show celebrated Disney's movie triumphs. The words Wonderful World of Color are not ill-chosen. According to an Jewluminati, an Illuminati mind control programmer. When Disney worked on his cartoons in amusement parks, colors, special colors and color combinations were specifically chosen for mind control programming purposes. See, now we're getting into the meat. Now listen, before we say anything about colors and this and that, remember that colors are all the Father's colors, right? All the numbers of the Father's numbers, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. This is what these devils do with these things. To point it out is not evil. To not point it out would be evil. So, when Disney worked on his cartoons and amusement parks, colors, special colors and color combinations were specifically chosen for mind control programming purposes. Wonderful World of Color, under various names such as Disneyland, aired for 22, hello, years, over the television networks. In 1955, Walt Disney made his cartoon character Mickey Mouse real by creating a fan club, the Mickey Mouse Club, which aired 5 days a week, usually just as children came home from school. How quaint. How convenient. 24 children called themselves Mouseketeers would help Mickey, and they would dance and sing and do skits. The Mickey Mouse Club adored the unique, cute little beanie Mickey Mouse caps. Beanie. You know what a beanie is, don't you? You know what a kippa is, don't you? The cute little beanie Mickey Mouse caps with their big ears mounted to each side of the beanie. You know, to me, this beanie with rat's ears on them would more suit the Jews instead of their kippas. You see, they really should be showing that they are the rats that they are. They have rat faces. They do damage to mankind like rats do, their companions that they brought along with them. And they are not to be trusted. They're rats. I mean that. Do you, Dave? Yes, I do. So, in the 1950s, most kid viewers of the show wanted their own mouse ears, quote unquote, and to become a Mouseketeer. You see, now you can be a Jew rat too. Especially children who were receiving Mickey Mouse scripts in their total mind control programming. Disney used his Mouseketeers to play all the roles in an Oz movie, Rainbow Road to Oz, which was never shown to the public. Adults today, both men and women who received Mickey Mouse programming during the 1950s through the 70s, can still be seen with Mickey Mouse clocks, watches, lampshades, knickknacks, t-shirts, etc. Years later, the kids who watched... See, if you were a child, you would be turned into a kid. Years later, the kids who watched can still remember Spin and Marty, quote-unquote, and the Mickey Mouse theme song. The image that everyone was perfect, including Mickey, was portrayed by the club's TV program. Still somehow, the American people began to use the word Mickey Mouse, quote-unquote, as a synonym for a silly, pretend way of doing things. It became common for people to say he Mickey Moused it together, to mean he did a poor job. Right, Eli? He did a poor job putting it together. On January 30th, 1957, Walt Disney had a television show aired entitled All About Magic, quote-unquote, where a magic mirror explains about magic. Well, let me stop right there. In Boston, we had a children's show that I would often see with a woman named Miss Jean. And she had a magic mirror and could see through it and would name children that were watching the show. But that's just coincidence, right? I forgot all about that until this moment. Miss Jean and her magic mirror. Everything to do with children needs to have magic. You believe in magic, right? Everything, everybody believes in magic. If you're a devil. So Walt Disney had a television show aired entitled All About Magic, quote unquote, where a magic mirror explains about magic. The magic mirror also contains a Bibbidi-Bobbidi-Boo sequence. Sounds like a Jew thing, like BB. Get it? Bibbidi-Bobbidi-Boo? Hmm? In 1959, Disney brought 8 small submarines from Todd Shipyards for $2,150,000. When ABC wouldn't let Walt make a TV series out of a storyline where a magic ring changes a boy into a dog, a mind-controlled programming theme, because ABC didn't think the public could swallow the storyline. Walt quit ABC for NBC. Oh, that's a big difference between ABC and NBC. Why didn't you just go to CBS, and then when you see Disney, you could CBS? Walt then made a scaled-down version of this occult storyline entitled The Shaggy Dog. Oh, well, I didn't know that. Was Kurt Russell in that? Let's see. Early in the 1960s, Walt and his brother Roy went secretly looking for an area on the East Coast to build another Disney park. Walt, the younger of the two, died in 1966, and Roy finished the project. Beginning 1964, 30,000 acres were secretly purchased at $200 an acre in Orlando, Jurida, area just west of NASA's Cape Kennedy. Using phony names and paying cash, Disney buyers bought the land and swore the sellers to secrecy. The Magic Kingdom has been multiplying. In 1971, Walt Disney World was open to the public. Bob Hope, Bob Hope and others participated in a Disney special on October 29th, 1971. 29th again? 2 and 9 is 11 this time instead of the 27th. Okay, well, whatever. Grand opening. See, they do these things on dates, you see. So this special was on October 29th, 1971, the grand opening of Walt Disney World, quote unquote. From the time of its opening until October 12th, 1995, Disney World calculated 500 million people visited Disney World. This amusement park is in Orlando, Jurida, on over 27,400 acres and includes the Epcot Center, now simply called Epcot. The Epcot Center was another dream of Walt Disney's. I saw Rush at the Epcot Center. I remember that. And I saw my Jew there and my Freemason, the drummer there, Neil Peart, and the Jew with the, that I thought was a, what do you call it, an Eskimo, but he's not an Eskimo, he's a Jew. He came out and said that his parents were in the Holocaust. You know, Geddy Lee. Remember the name Lee is also part of the Chinese dynasty. We'll see that. We've talked about that. I've read about that. I didn't talk to it about you about it, but that's what the Lee family is one of them. And it's spelled different ways, like L-I and so on and so forth. The Epcot Center was another dream of Walt Disney's, albeit more than slightly modified from Walt's original Epcot ideas. Epcot originally stood for, listen to this, wow, Experimental Prototype Community of Tomorrow. Experimental Prototype Community of Tomorrow. Tomorrowland, like he just said, right? It was to be an extension of the massive mind control being carried out at Disney World. The original Epcot Center, Epcot City, designed by Walt, was to carry on its commerce, traffic that is, via underground roads and tunnels like the Disney theme parks. After Walt Disney died, his successors changed the proposed experimental city into another theme park simply called Epcot. It is not unusual to see the crowds of over 48,000 people descend on Walt Disney World and the Epcot Center in a single day. Some visitors arrive via a monorail. Visitors can buy a 5-day World Hopper Pass, which allows them to bounce around with admission to all the sites for a 7-day period. In other words, some families stay for a week at Disney World. Hardcore visitors can get annual passports, which provide unlimited use of Walt Disney World for an entire year. In reality, many visitors to Disney World began the day enthusiastic and day after day of hot sun and waiting in long lines with large crowds for imitations of reality. The tourists are zombie-like and looking forward to getting back to their hotels. Many people have felt the rides were not nearly what they expected. Some of the rides are better than others, and some typically get comments like, "It was stupid." Some of the spooky events like Snow White's Adventures or the oversized heads of Disney characters walking around can leave the little preschool children terrified and dazed for the rest of the day. In contrast, the older children, who normally rarely show patience at home, may show how much they want to go on a particular Disney ride by waiting an hour and a half in the hot sun for a ride. Alien Encounter is a Walt Disney feature that invites tourists in for a demonstration of interplanetary teleportation, quote unquote. When the demonstration, quote unquote, as planned, breaks down, quote unquote, an alien with asocial traits appears among the audience and terrorizes the audience. A cute creature is hideously fried, deformed, and then vomited into space screaming. Here are some comments from visitors to this Walt Disneyland attraction. Quote, "Alien Encounter is one of those rides I can say I've seen and that I have no intention of ever doing again. In fact, parents who take children under the age of 6 should be brought up on child abuse." Woman from Michigan. Next quote. "Alien Encounter was the worst experience of my 10-year-old almost every children in there. It starts out cute enough during the pre-show, but the actual show is a disaster for children. My daughter screamed and cried in terror throughout it. I thought the Disney warnings were vague and inaccurate. When we left, there wasn't one child with dry eyes. Even sturdy-looking 12-year-old boys were crying. I think it's an age requirement of 13 to 14 is more appropriate. I talked to a few adults, and we even agreed that the special effects were extremely unpleasant even for us. This show is not a Disney family experience. It's atrocious." A mother from Phillipsburg, New Jersey. Now, let me explain something to you. Why are the children screaming in terror? Because they're being traumatized. I'm surprised he hasn't mentioned that here. You see, what you do to program a child or program anybody is you put terror upon them. You terrorize them. And what this does is it cracks their mind into, like a mirror, into pieces that can be programmed. So what I assume was happening here was there was either something put in the beginning of the show and then they traumatized the children, but I think it's more like they said something in the beginning that was cute that they wanted to program into their heads. They traumatized them and then reinforced what they told them at the beginning that they wanted to be planted in their heads. These children were crying. They were in fear and screaming in terror. How can that be good? Next quote. We did go to Alien Encounter. The pre-show is deceiving. It kind of lulls you into thinking, this isn't so bad. When the main part came up, I admit the experience gave me the absolute heebie-jeebies. I am never doing that presentation again. It was way too intense for me, and now I'm 27 years of age. From a family in Laurel, Maryland, Michael Eisner, the president of Walt Disney Company, initially rejected Alien Encounter for not being scary enough when it was being considered as an addition to Disney World. One wonders what he would have liked. Snow White's Adventures, which was an attraction at Disneyland, was one of what the Disney people called dark rides, quote unquote. After a while, a sign appeared with a witch warning people that the attraction was scary. Later in 1983, they renamed it Snow White's Scary Adventures. It might be interesting to point out that when the original Snow White and Seven Dwarfs came out, that England forbids the film to be seen by any child under 16 unless accompanied by an adult because of the scary content of the movie. How far have we come since then? Schools in Florida or Jurida and Californication, California, areas also make field trips to the Magic Kingdom that are arranged with Disney. Epcot receives tens of thousands of children this way during March, September, and October. High schools are the Magic Kingdom for proms or senior nights, and some of the couples use the facilities of the Magic Kingdom for weddings. Modum Bride ranked Orlando as the number one honeymoon destination of the world. Very interesting. I'm going to propose something to you. We'll get back to this article in a second. I think these centers are exactly what he's saying. They're mind control programming. Do you wonder why they wanted to get all the children, not just in America, but all anyone, any possible children they possibly can, into this thing? I never went to Disney World. I don't know about you. But I will tell you this. You wonder why you're surrounded by American people that are zombies? That want to be children at age 70? They want to have their little rabbit in the cocoa and they want their little cereal box with, a rabbit. Trix is for kids. Trix is for kids. No, tricks are for kids. Remember, kids? See, when you went in there, you were a child, and when you come out, you were a kid. You were modified some way, in some fashion. And the reason why you go on many rides is so they can get you a number of ways. If one of the programming techniques does not work, then another will. Now, I'm just thinking off the top of my head, but I have to say that's exactly what the story is. I mean, hey, I don't know everything, but I can sort of read between the lines and understand what's going on here. Let's go back to the article real quick. Group discussions of people who took honeymoons to Disney World have had a consensus that the hype is not as great as the reality. Well, welcome to all Jewish ideologies. Welcome to all the fables of the Jews. The hype is not as great as the reality. Yes, let me just highlight that, because that's very important. See, selling people into things is hype. You get them going and you make them make impulsive decisions. Did you ever notice, we're going to stop right there. Did you ever notice that they always tell you that you got to hurry before the sale is over? Or it's a madness sale. They'll tell you all these sales have to do with madness. Like, this sale is so crazy, you better hurry or you're going to miss this item. I hate to tell you how many madness sales I've let go by and see the same thing come up later, and then again later, and then again later. Don't worry about madness sales. There's no hurry. See, the hurry is to make you make an impulsive decision. Instead of thinking conscientiously, do I need this? Do I want this? Why would I need this? Should I buy this? No, you got to hurry. If I was to think like that, I might miss the sale. Do you understand the technique? If they tell you to hurry to buy something, don't do it. Watch what happens. There's no hurry, folks. It's only a hurry to get that money out of your hands to make you make an impulsive decision, which later you may say, geez, I didn't need this. Why did I buy that? It's sitting on a shelf. I've never used it ever. It's a programming. This is the kind of stuff that goes on in the world. And this is the kind of stuff that you don't think about because you see it so much that you're not alarmed by it. Let me tell you, I've learned an awful lot in the last couple of months. I've been able to read some, reading some materials that I wasn't able to do for a while before. And it's like a refreshment of information. Only now I have more eyes to see. I don't mean I have more than my two eyes. I just mean that my eyes can see deeper. My understanding is much deeper than it was. And the more you begin to seek the truth and the truth sets you free, the more you'll be able to understand and you'll be able to connect more dots and you'll have wisdom. You'll start to understand how to apply this knowledge. As I always do, I warn you at the end of the show not to go down the wrong hole.
This world is not the place for me. I just never belonged, you see. They never wanted me. The curse is laid upon my race. Useless serpents, they bring disgrace. A man without a face. Of time they pass again. It's so hard to tell where and when. Yeah, just do the best you can. The flames will burn away the waste. All the lies that they told erased. A man without. A man without a face. A man without a face. A man without.